Elizabeth Chapel, a lifelong entrepreneur who finally found my niche. After years of new ideas and jumping from business to business, I figured out how to turn a craft into a successful career. In 2016, I started a monthly subscription box for quilters. That little startup has grown into a thriving, multiple six-figure business that I am so proud of. As a published author, designer of fabrics and patterns being sold throughout the world, my favorite thing to do is to teach others how to grow a career of their dreams. Each week, you'll hear from me or from other guests who are creative entrepreneurs, so you can learn exactly what to do and what not to do to grow a career that's more rewarding and successful than you ever thought possible. If you're ready to turn your craft into a career that you love, I am so excited you're here. Welcome to the Craft to Career Podcast. Welcome to the Craft to Career Podcast. Happy Friday, if you're listening on the day that this releases. I have some wonderful things for you to hear today and also to see. So if you can check out the show notes to this podcast, there are some beautiful quilts that you are not going to want to miss. We are talking to the artist today, and we talked and she told me how to say her name, and I'm worried I'm going to say it wrong. Aynex Mercado, A-Y-N-E-X. She is a modern quilt artist, and she won a coaching call because she left a review for the podcast. And so we dive into her business today, how she can grow her business, what she wants to do with her business. It was so fun to hear her ideas and her dreams and her perspective as an artist. It's very clear. You can hear as she's talking how she is such a true artist and how she wants to help others to tap into their inner artist and express themselves with their quilts. So let's hear from Aynex. I really hope I'm saying that right. Hear about her business, what she does, and enjoy this coaching call. Hi, Aynex. I am excited to have you here on the podcast. Can you introduce who you are to our listeners?
Yes. So my name is Aynex Mercado, and I am from Puerto Rico. I've been living in Maryland for about 15 years now. I've been quilting for over 20 years. But I'm more interested in making this into a business now. Not a full-time business because I have a full-time job that I'm not interested in leaving, but I do want to make some extra income. So I am an art quilter, and in the ideal world, I would sell art quilts and commissions. That would be the ideal, but I know that that's not the most possible thing. So I would like to find other ways of making an income from my quilt right now.
And before we started, I had asked you, you know, what do you want your biggest takeaway to be? And you said help with focusing because you're trying to do all the things. So can you tell me, like, what are the different things that you're trying or thinking about doing right now?
Well, like I said, I have a real job, a full-time job, and I'm making quilts. So that takes time. So I'm also trying to promote myself on Instagram. I am trying to sell on-demand, like print-on-demand products. It's not going very well. I'm also thinking about teaching classes. I'm not interested in doing patterns, but that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. So, well, okay, when you say print on demand, what are you selling that's print on demand? Is it your artwork?
So I made a quilt that was on QuiltCon, and the design looks to be pretty popular. So I put it on different products, like t-shirts and stickers and greeting cards and things like that. They're not selling very well, but I don't know if it's just that I'm not promoting them very well or people are not interested.
Well, I'll take a stab at why it's probably not. And it's probably because the audience that you do have, they are interested in quilting. And then all of a sudden you're trying to like, oh, and there's t-shirts and stickers. And so that's where the niche comes in, the power of having the niche and sticking with just your art quilts. Now, as your audience grows, when you get to, I don't know, I'm just throwing out a number, probably around 10,000 followers or more, you could potentially introduce the stickers and t-shirts, but still it's probably not going to sell that well. And even I have tried some other things as well. And I'm like, forget that. Nope. We're sticking with this, you know, because it just, it confuses and dilutes your audience. Mm-hmm. So, the quilt that you put in QuiltCon, can you tell me which one it is? Is it this, the Capitol with the red and the blue?
Yes.
Very cool. Beautiful. And I'm so glad that you mentioned teaching, because when you were saying that you do art quilts, my first interest, I don't know how to touch an art quilt. I was like, man, I would love a class on that. And then you said you're interested in teaching, and even better, you're not interested in writing patterns. So I don't know, like I said, I don't know much about art quilts. I've never made one. But I would think it would be hard to write a pattern for an art quilt. I feel like that's more something you would want to do with a teacher kind of guiding you. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, a lot of the quilts that I make are foundation paper piecing of buildings. So I've heard a lot of people that are interested in me teaching them a class on making a pattern from a building. So
yes,
that's what I've been thinking of.
Yes, I love that. You were going to say something. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm also not interested in traveling. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of virtual classes. I'm thinking also on demand classes. Yeah. Like I said, I've been thinking about a lot of things.
Yep.
So
the thinking is the easy part, but it's like, now how do I do this? I actually love where you're going. Okay. Traveling is a huge expense for time and money. And so the beauty of the computer is you're able to teach a ton of people without having to travel. They don't need to travel. You don't need to travel, and you can reach people all over the world. So I love this idea. I think you should go with it. I would love to see you grow your following on Instagram, and I'm sure you would too. So let's talk about that, because what you have is really cool and it's beautiful. It's not getting the credit that it deserves on your Instagram feed. So when I go to your Instagram feed, you have pinned your QuiltCon quilt, and that's the very first thing. I want to see in every one of your squares, your quilts and the beautiful things. Because when I scroll down a little bit, I can see other photos of things that you've been making. And I think some of them is like, is it Laura Haney or who did the cow?
I did that. Yeah.
Oh, that's yours. Oh my gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Put these up at the top. We need to be seeing your beautiful designs and your work. So put your designs up at the top. They are stunning. They're beautiful. Tell us about them. So all of your pictures should be either standalone photos or there is real. Your second post right here is real, and I'm going to click on it. Okay. It's beautiful. However, it's very close up. It's, yep. This right here.
Yeah.
So the full effect, that this is great. It's good to sprinkle in some of these, but I guarantee if you step back and I can see that full picture, it would take my breath away. It's like, you know, like a audible, wow. So every one of your reels should be showing your work. It could show the process of you at the sewing machine, the finished product, cutting the scraps, but it should always be beautiful quilt photos. And yeah, so I can see like I can see your inspiration. You're showing like your screensaver here. No more of those, only quilts. So when people come here, they're seeing your fabric art, and everything they see is fabric art. And when they see that, they will think, even when I see that Capitol quilt of yours, I'm like, how on earth did she make that?
I can't even wrap my head around it. I've got to take a class. And instantly they're going to be like, how do I learn this? I want to learn just from seeing your work. Mm-hmm. So that's where to start by growing your audience. How often are you posting? How consistently?
I try to do it once a day.
Very good. Okay. If you can post reels right now, short form video is doing the best on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know on our podcast if and when that changes. Not if, but when it changes, because Instagram's always changing. But for now, the short form video is the best. So little videos. But I would love to see maybe every other or every third post a photo of a quilt of yours or a video where you can see the full thing and you're showcasing your work. So that will help grow your audience. You're already posting consistently. That's amazing. Good job, by the way. It's really hard to do that. So let's just acknowledge that you're doing a really good job there.
Reels take a long time.
It gets faster. It really does. I mean, honestly, so if you pull out your phone right now, I'll do it too. I'm going to video us talking on here. So let's just wait. Good idea. And now I've got a reel. So,
hey.
So, and that'll probably share to my stories because I want my reels to be quilting related. But for you, just, I'm assuming you have quilts in your house and you can just pull out your camera and video yourself looking at it. And that's a reel. Anytime. Now, this is something I'm learning to do and getting better at. Anytime you're sewing, going to a closet to pick out fabric, set your camera up and record you doing it. So that's called B-roll. And that's where you're just recording yourself doing the action of quilting or sewing or cutting your fabric, anything like that. Record all of it. Because a lot of short form video that does well on Instagram right now is that B-roll. You just cutting your fabric with words on top of it. Mm-hmm. Like, have you wanted to make art with fabric? Mm-hmm. Follow me. And that's it. Yeah. Just a short little video. So yes. Okay. That for Instagram. And then let's chat about these courses because I think it's a great idea. So you've thought about it. Where are you in the thought process? Have you figured out like how to do it? Or yeah, tell me where you're at with that.
So I did a little workshop with Lyric in art.
Yeah.
And she was great. So she gave me a lot of ideas that she said that first step is to like develop the course. So I'm thinking of practicing with some friends of mine to teach them how to do it.
Perfect.
And maybe, I left your dog.
Oh, thanks.
So practicing with them and then maybe make the course to be sold on demand first. I am not sure about whether to go with like a platform or just Skillshare or something like that. That's easier.
Yeah. There's pros and cons to both. So Skillshare, you don't keep all of the money that's earned, but they also help you with marketing. So you don't need as big of an audience. I mean, me personally, because of my personality, you have to figure out for yourself which one you'd rather do. I'm much more of a like, I'll do it on my own. I'll just do that. But for some people, they're much more comfortable going with a Skillshare or another platform just because they're not interested in all the marketing. I mean, one thing you could consider is doing like a very introduction course and putting that on Skillshare. And that will help people find you and grow your following and audience and get people to know about you. And then have more in-depth classes or just other classes on your own platform. And I would think Skillshare would be an easier entry level because you don't have to set up Kajabi or whatever. You know, I use Kajabi for my courses. You don't have to pay for that. You don't have to set it up. You can just go to Skillshare and put your content there. But as I recall, I've looked into Skillshare, but this was like a year or two ago. I think they still do want you telling, they want you to help with marketing. You know, they want you to tell people about your course. So just because you put it on Skillshare doesn't automatically mean it's going to be super successful. But it might not be a bad first step of like, let's just try this and put it out and see how it does and see what their contract is. I wonder if you down the road don't end up loving it or you want to take it off if you can. I would think I would look into that and see what their rules are about that.
Mm-hmm. I've also thought about, I belong to some guilds locally. And I have done lectures, like virtual lectures. So mm-hmm. I've also thought about doing that with guilds. But I don't know how to get started with that.
Yeah, so I've done some of that. And you can go to Google. And what I've done, I've gone to Google and I've Googled quilt guilds and a list of and all the different types. You know, there's modern quilt guilds, traditional quilt guilds, all of that. They come up and you can get the contact information. And I just email and say, hi, I would love to do a lecture. Here's what I do. Are you interested? My thoughts on that, though, for you, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm still navigating that because I'm still doing a couple of guild shows. So I'm torn. These are my thoughts. It's good exposure. But it's very, very slow exposure. You get exposure to just a small pocket of people, but it is still exposure. You get paid, but not a lot. You know, it's a couple hundred dollars. You do get to do it from the comfort of your home unless you travel, which you could just tell them I don't travel. It's virtual. And then as well, you're teaching the same thing over and over again. Whereas if you just record it once, you can have it and say, here, this is available for people to watch. They just pay X amount of money. And with that, you could reach out to guilds and say, I would offer this to your guild to watch at a discounted price of X amount. And everyone in your guild can watch it. They have access for a week or a day or however long. And that way you're not doing it over and over again. You just do it once and give that to people, you know? I don't know. Those are my thoughts on, it's just, it's a lot of work to do it over and over again. And I get a little burnt out when I do that. Like I've decided I don't really want to speak at guilds anymore just because I get more, I don't know. I feel like it's a lot of time. I get burnt out. So it's something for you to figure out. Some people love it. Some people thrive off of that. And you might really love that. So I would test it out, you know, reach out to one or two guilds. If you don't hear back, reach out to another, and try it out and see how it goes. It's good practice. It's good practice to teach and sharpen your teaching skills. Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations about reaching an audience of art buyers instead of just quilters?
I haven't done as much of that, but I mean, reaching out to people will look the same no matter what industry, no matter what you're doing. So I did work with a woman who's going more into interior decorating. She wants to make custom quilts for interior decorators. And it's the same, while I don't know who to reach out to, it's the same in any industry. You want to create a portfolio. Now, when you say you want to reach out to artists, tell me, are you looking for art buyers, art buyers? Okay. So, I mean, it'd just be a matter of research, finding who are different art buyers and who do you reach out to, and then create a portfolio and say, here's what I create. I do think it's a really cool idea. And like with any art, you'll earn quicker money faster. I guess that's the same thing. Teaching, that's going to be a more like consistent, reliable income. Mm-hmm. Selling a piece of art is going to be a bigger ticket sale, but it's harder to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not as consistent. But if you can get into that market, that'd be really cool. So I would try that. Can you make prints of your quilts? You know how artists sometimes will sell like a print of their painting? Can you do that with quilts?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same texture.
It's not at all. Yeah, it's not.
But yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's a really interesting. I love that idea. So yeah, just a matter of reaching out to people and letting them know what you offer and seeing how it goes. I think it'd be cool to try and get in an art show where you can reach out to different studios. Hey, do you have an art show? I'd love to display this at your art show. And you can try and sell it there or even just get exposure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like that idea a lot. But I do think the classes is genius because people will want to learn, you know, it's a skill that I really don't know how you do. Is it applique? Like, do you do
no, applique? It's mostly foundation paper piecing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do love the teaching idea. But really, I don't want to influence it. But I don't want to like, you should do this. My biggest thing with coaching people is to help you reach in and find what really speaks to you. You said you're interested in teaching. I think it's a great idea. And then I would continue to reach out to those different art shows, art auctioneers, I don't know how you say it, art sellers, mm-hmm. And see what the interest level is. If they're not interested, don't give up. Keep looking for other people. I think that's the biggest thing I see is people are like, well, I reached out to 100 people. No one said yes. So no one's interested. I'm like, no. You've got to reach out to like a million people. You just got to keep on going. You know that your art is good. You know that it's good. Mm-hmm. So you find that person who also wants that and they're out there. So.
So I should concentrate on my teaching. And
are you excited about that? Is that what you want to do?
I don't know.
It is work. I mean, with all of these things, it's work.
I don't know if it's something that is teachable. And also, I am a graphic designer. And I use Adobe Illustrator to design my quilts. And I know that not everybody has Adobe Illustrator. So.
But would they need that? To do that?
So I have to figure out a way to teach it without Adobe Illustrator. Maybe by hand first.
Well, okay. So if it's foundation paper piece, wouldn't you just sell that, the foundation paper piece?
I mean, if I'm teaching a class, I have to show them how to make the pattern.
So they'd be making their own pattern. They wouldn't be using yours.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me throw this idea out. What if you used your design, like you create it and you sell them that design and it's printed off to scale, you know?
So that would mean they would be selling a pattern.
Mm-hmm. And how come you don't want to do that?
Because I don't know. I feel like I want to promote people making their own thing and not using other people's pattern.
Okay.
I don't know. It kind of bothers me.
Okay. So then maybe you would want to teach smaller, like 8.5 by 11. So people could use a piece of paper and you could teach them how to sketch and create their own. Would that work? And I don't know how it works to make foundation paper piecing by hand, but would that work?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I think if it were smaller and you could do it by hand, mm-hmm. that way they don't need to know Adobe. I mean, you could also offer a class like, here's hand sketch. And now for those of you who know Adobe, I teach another course over here. And that's for those who know Adobe.
Yeah.
Because I do know Adobe personally, and I'm like, well, I would way rather learn how to do it on Adobe. But if all your offerings hand teaching or hand sketching, I'll do that one too. But mm-hmm. yeah. But I mean, I say that it's two separate classes that you'd be making, and it's time, you know, to make it a good course. You got to put some time in there. But Skillshare might not be a bad place to try the hand sketch one, where you teach how to do it by hand and just a small little, I mean, you could even teach, I don't know, create your own flower or create whatever it would be.
Yeah.
I hope you do it. If you do, let me know if this course comes out, because I'm in. Like I want to know how to do this. And I do actually, I'd love to hear more your thoughts on the pattern. Is it, you don't like it because this is your art and you don't want people replicating your art?
No, it's not that. It bothers me that quilters are like They don't want to create their own thing. They want to imitate other people. Like, they're, yes, like every time I show a quilt, they always ask me, is there a pattern? And it doesn't bother me that they copy it. It's just that it bothers me that they don't want to do it themselves. Like, I love making my own thing. So I don't know. God, it just bothers me.
Interesting. I have found those of us who create and write our own patterns, our brains work very differently. I'm curious, have you bought a quilt pattern before and followed the steps of the quilt pattern?
I never followed the whole pattern.
That was my question.
I started doing it and then I started thinking, okay, what can I make? How can I make a difference?
Because those of us who are the quilt designers and we design it, we don't follow the patterns, or we simply look at the photo and we're like, I got it, I don't need to read those. But those people who don't think like that, they follow those steps to the T, and their brains don't think outside the box like that, you know? And so it's almost like they don't have that creative ability to do that, you know? So you're definitely, but I like, you have this niche. You are talking to the person who has that creative vision and who has the ability to, like, I want to do this. I have something in me that I want to create. And so that, you know, that I love narrowing an audience, and that is right there. You're narrowing who your audience is. I will warn you, there will be many people who will say, just give me a pattern. I just want a pattern. So just, you know, stand your ground and say, oh, that's not what I provide. Or you can say, maybe one day I will, I don't know. But for now, I help people create their own. So,
like, for that capital quilt, I have the pattern because it's right there in my computer. I can just sell it. But I don't know. Something is...
Well, don't. Yeah, if it's not what you want to do, don't do it.
Another thing that I was thinking, you know, all the things that I'm thinking, I speak Spanish, and I know I was listening, I think it was you were doing an interview with...
Yeah, with Bluebell Designs, Lena.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about maybe going into the Spanish market, but also I want to teach the more advanced cultures, and I know the Spanish market is very... starting right now, and it's very new, so I don't know if I should even go there.
Try it. I mean, Alina does do some retreats, so it could be really cool to go and teach at some of those retreats, you know. And then for me, I'm like, but do teach English. I want to learn. Teach everybody. But I do think, especially at the first, I mean, for now, grow the Instagram audience, because having an audience just opens up doors for opportunity. Once you have a following, you can decide, oh, I'm going to offer this. And they'll be like, great, I'm here for it. And then I'd really think about the teaching, just because it sounds like it's something that you're kind of interested in, you're kind of drawn to. And so try out a few different, you know, go to a local guild and see if you like it, if that's something you want to do. It'll help you put together a lesson plan, or even just a trunk show, you know, you can go and show your things, and you can even see, are they interested? Would people want to learn how to do this? Which I promise you they will. They'll want to learn. And then you can start thinking about, how would I teach it? What are the different lessons? How would we start? What's lesson one going to be? What's lesson two? You know, how can I keep my lessons short and help them find success? And it's probably good to start off with something very, very simple, just to teach the concept, you know, here's how you draw, here's how you cut from your drawing, and so forth and so on. But it does allow itself to have multiple courses that you're teaching. Like, here's the introductory, please start here. Once you finish that, then you can take this next course, or what, so on and so on. But I think it's really cool. What is your full-time job? I'm curious what you do full-time.
I'm a web designer.
Ah, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, people are going to reach out. Can you design my web for me, my website?
Yes. No.
Are you freelance, or you do it for, like...
No, I work for the federal government.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what do you design for the federal government, out of curiosity?
Boring government website. That's right. They quilting is my creative outlet.
Yes. Well, and now your QuiltCon, the capital, makes much more sense. You're working for the government. Yeah. It's on your mind all the time.
Well, I live close to DC, so it's always around.
Yeah. Cool. Well, what? Any other pressing questions you have?
No, I guess you have answered my questions. Just concentrate on Instagram and my teaching, and maybe start looking at the art buyer market. So
yeah, if you do sell those quilts, then it will become even more high demand. Like, oh, I want that pattern. That's so cool. You sold it.
Oh, maybe you can answer this question that I have. So I am going to start making a quilt for Quilt National, and in that competition, you cannot show your quilt anywhere in social media or anything before you apply. So I'm thinking, what am I going to put in Instagram if I cannot show my quilt?
Okay, that's a big question for a lot of quilters. And I will just say, if you go and look at my Instagram, I have been posting twice a day for the last few weeks. And most of those, I have not been making anything new. You will see I've used footage from forever ago, and then I will sit down at my machine and I'm not really making anything. I just show myself sewing fabric, but I'm not really working on anything at the moment. Or I'll get fabric and show myself cutting it. So you don't have to be making anything. That's why I say get your camera out whenever you're doing anything and film yourself doing it. But I wonder, could you show yourself cutting the fabric?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, or just sitting at the sewing machine sewing, they will have no idea what you're making, you know? Just if you go through and look at the last month or so of my Instagram, I'm not making anything new right now. And I haven't been for like a month. So, but I still have content twice a day, every day for a month. So, steal ideas from my Instagram, take them, go for it, reuse them. Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
And I do suggest as well, I go through and look at reels on Instagram. I spend maybe 20 minutes a day tops just looking at reels, and I will find some that are funny or capture my attention. And I'm like, I'll do that, except make it a quilting reel. Mm-hmm. So just go through and find some that you like, that you think are funny or clever or pretty or inspirational. And then it might be about like, I love driving through the mountains. It makes me feel at peace. Oh, that's pretty. It makes me feel good. So I love sitting at my sewing machine and creating something new. It makes me feel at peace. And just, you know, put it in your own genre. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's tons of ideas out there that you can just tweak it to be unique to you. So if our listeners want to find you, where is the best place for them to go?
So my website is Aynex, that's AYNEX, quilts.com. And I'm on Instagram at Aynex Quilts.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. And listeners, go check out her account. She's got some beautiful art quilts on there. So thank you so much, Aynex, for being here on the podcast.
Thank you.
Aynex, thank you so much for being here on the podcast. I really love your work, your vision for the future of what you want to do as a teacher. And I really hope that you offer those courses. And it'll be fun to see, you know, if you decide to do patterns or not, or if you just truly want to help people express their own art and ideas. But thank you so much for being here. If you want to see the beautiful work that we talked about, you can visit her on Instagram. It's AYNEX quilts. Or you can visit the show notes, and there's photos of the quilts that we talked about. So thank you so much for being here. Join me next Friday with a brand new episode. Until then, have a wonderful week.